So today in our Shaky Bird slow reading, we have another song as requested. So it's not as famous as Hotel California. You may not heard it before, but Peter Hamill is an amazing musician. He's a very cool musician, and Wonder Girl Generator is a famous band of his. So he is like a top artist, really. Very clever, very interesting. And that's one of the early songs, and apparently he liked it, because then I found out that he kind of had a retake much later in a different style a little bit. So did you listen to it?
Yes, I listened, actually. So yeah, I've listened to it. It was just, you know, nothing. It was quite an ordinary, I would say. So just personally, maybe I wouldn't listen until the end by myself, you know, if I heard it. So something just an ordinary.
Yeah, and it is, in the sense of music, it may not impress you, because like I said, it's an early song and it's quite simple in that sense. But I like the lyrics. I like the lyrics. So let's read it. You have the text?
Yes.
So let's read it. Will you read with me?
Yes, with pleasure.
Okay, so let's get started. So we have... what's the name?
We have people you were going to.
Yeah, people you were going to. And we can start with talking about the title, because the first thing you see is the title. So what can you tell me about the title?
Oh, people you were going to. You know, to my mind, it sounds, you know, like unfinished, like with the... You know, so you know, just going to do what? And actually, so it, to me, it's, you know, it looks like a question. So people you're going, people you are going to do what?
Or just people you are going to, like, to visit.
Yeah, to visit, yeah, to talk to, whatever, so then who knows.
Yeah, because when people start studying English, and they often have this kind of problem, going to, like, I'm going to do something, and going to, like, in the process of going somewhere. And as we'll see, the song kind of plays with it. So let's read it. Your father, your father has just left your mother, gone off to live with his latest lover. She sits there just staring. So you get back to your own flat, because the atmosphere in there is so bad, you can't bear it. And the people you are going to America with just left on the darn plane without you. The people in the downstairs flat are no longer there now. Because they left. The gas tap on. They're all dead. So you've no one left to talk to. You just lie there in melancholy. Half naked on your unmade bed. And the people you are going to Africa with just left on the southern star without you. Yes, the haze that's been forming around your window panes is now protected and poisoned, and you cannot feel a portion of the world outside. Can you imagine the way you'd feel if all these things had happened to you, and the doctor says you're dying? That is the way that I feel now. I'm finding that your love belongs to someone else, not I. My chance of heaven has just blown away upon a passing cloud. There's nothing that I can do without you. the people you are going to have left,
have
gone
left,
far away,
gone
and you're lonely.
You're lonely.
Oh, I know, it's a sad little song, sad lyrics, but we can't always look at happy things. Okay, so what can you tell me your impressions, or maybe have some questions?
I think that question we'll figure out together, because I love just your way of thinking, how you guide, you know. But the main feeling is just, you know, really, again, about dad, I would say, and just being upset, I don't know. A little bit, you know, like feeling a little bit of weariness, sadness, you know, of course, loneliness, and just, you know, when you are left.
So, do you notice anything interesting, unusual you'd like to point out? Something you specifically like or dislike about it?
No, I don't know. Yes.
Okay. So, it's really interesting. So, let's have a look at it. So, how it starts. Your father has just left your mother, gone off to live with his latest lover. She sits there just staring. Okay, your comments.
It's real, just real like a picture, you know, so you can vividly see what's going on. It's just like a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of a, you know, unhappy family, some drama in someone's life, in someone's family life. And just he's like standing and observing what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So what can we say about the hero, the character? Because is it his problem? Is there something wrong with him?
No, actually, so we don't know, because your father, so maybe he's telling someone's story. Or can be just your, can be like a general.
Yeah,
when
yeah, it sounds like general you. Or maybe it's personal you. We're talking
maybe.
To you, your father. Has just left your mother, gone off to live with his latest lover. So when we start with you, how do we feel about it? He doesn't say my father, or his father, or her father. He says your father. So immediately, from the first word, how do we feel about it?
No, it's like not only his story, so you start thinking, you might start thinking about yourself. It's like, my father has just left.
Mm-hmm.
What if, you know, what if would be? What if my father has just left my mother? Or would just, yeah.
Or also we might say, when we use you in a story, in a poem, in a song, then immediately we're drawing in the listener. You become a part of it, whether you like it or not. You're not an observer. You don't just stand looking. You're part of it, you feel it much deeper. When we say your father versus my father, his father, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Because the picture is a bit frozen.
Oh, but okay.
Yeah, some frozen there. So we have an image of a family, and as you say, not a happy family. But how deep does it affect the person? So you're not the mother, you're not the father, you're just their child.
If it's just like it's a general question, what might happen? I would say so. Quite often, it depends on the situation, and sometimes it can give you, you know, like. You can feel grief, but sometimes it's like a relief. But in both cases, just it's not something positive. It's really depressing, like you know, like maybe cracking on you. But just still, you are like not on the just bright side of your life.
Even though it's worse for your mother than it is for you, and we see her reaction because she sits there just staring. Yeah, so she's not happy, she's not hysterical. How would you describe her state? Because everything we see
staring
in this...
Usually just, it's like frozen. Like staring is just like motionless, just fixed and just frozen.
So why would she feel like that? Because in this song and in most poetry, when we see someone's feelings described, it's related. Of course, it's related to the main hero somehow. And here we have this whole picture building up. It's all his state. All these different characters, they all reflect his state. So the mother reflects how he feels. So if something happens to you and you don't even have the power to react, how do you describe it?
Just maybe I don't get the point. I'm
The state of mind. How do you describe such a state of mind?
So
mental position.
The child, just not the mother's, but of the narrator.
So on one hand we have the mother, and she represents, she introduces a state of mind in which something so horrible happens that you don't have the power to react to it, because normally you do something. Maybe you become very angry, or maybe you become upset, maybe you cry, maybe you shout, maybe you do something crazy. But if you just sit there just staring, that's the ultimate level of depression. Yeah. So we have that. And of course we have this image of how it should not be. The father and the mother should be together. Here the natural order is broken in a nasty way, and we can feel it. But we can see the reaction. So immediately we are into this situation. So you get back to your own flat. So the narrator is obviously, he's not a child, not a little baby, but is it easier if you're not a baby, or is it just as difficult if you're a grown up when something like that happens in your family?
Well, it's just not so easy to answer such a question, because just I would say that when you are already an adult, so you are much, I would say, more experienced as a baby. And so, like, if we compare, like, being a baby, being an adult, if we're talking about such a just terrible situation, so adults, it's just from a point of view of an adult, I would say, that it could be, you know, not only about all emotions, but it could be some, like, logical ideas and just, you know, logical understanding of the situation. So, and that's why it could be much complicated, because you can, you know, like, you know just what you're thinking, you know what you're feeling, and, you know, sometimes one thing overweights just another one. It's like, maybe sometimes, like, heart over mind, or maybe vice versa.
But again, it tells us something about the hero, because you get back to your own flat because the atmosphere in there is so bad you can't bear it.
Unbearable.
So on one hand, he can, he's very sensitive. He's sensitive, and even though he is a grown-up, he is still connected to his family, to his mother, his father, and it worries him what happens to them. Yeah, so he came to visit. But at the same time, what can he do?
He can just sleep and pretend that he's not there and just try to maybe help himself. So if he can't bear it, okay, I can leave it and just pretend that nothing is happening. Or maybe he tries to, he tries to make it easier for him.
Yeah, because on one hand he can feel that something is wrong. At the same time, he doesn't try to comfort his mother or
his mother,
help in any way. But he's like, no, hands up, I'm leaving. I can't do anything. I am powerless, he says, basically. Yep. Not only his mother is helpless, but he also is. He can't help her in any way, not with a word or not with action. He just leaves. So we have this constant theme of leaving. Father leaves his mother. He's leaving the flat. Goes
yeah,
to
so
his own
he get
flat.
back.
So we have this again atmosphere of leaving home, leaving the rightful place. So leaving can be different. Yeah, you can leave for a new happy life. You can leave your home for adventures. But here it's a wrong kind of leaving. Okay, and then we have the chorus, which changes a little bit over time. So the first time, and the people you are going to America with just left on the dawn plane without you.
So you just like you were left. And just, you know, that there weren't like, maybe that you were having some kind of plans going to somewhere, maybe just, and you know that traveling is usually about new experience or just, just
yeah,
new
so
people,
he
new
is
places.
British, he's British,
yeah.
So we're talk from the, like, British point of view, not American.
Yeah, like to a new world, just new world, new life, actually. If we talk about, like, America, maybe here, but still, all of them
yeah,
are
so
gone,
America
but
is like a big magic world in this context.
World.
And there were some people, and you were going to America with, and they left without you. So how would you feel about it? So we had big plans. So it's not every day you go to America, yeah? And you had plans,
no,
and they just left without you.
Betrayed by them.
What?
Maybe it was like feeling of betrayal.
Yes.
So if they left without just, you know, without letting him know that they were going to leave without him, or without just the person.
Why the dawn plane?
Just like the beginning of the new day, new life.
Yeah, for them, not for you. So, and again, it's really something big expectations which get broken. Same as with a family, maybe. Any more comments for this section?
Not yet, I guess.
Okay, so we have a few locations. We have the location of his parents' flat. Then we move to his flat, or your flat, as we have it. And now we look at our surroundings. The people in the downstairs flat. When we look at the neighbors. Okay, so first we had like more family relationship, something close family, something private. Now we have social relationship. So his family is not happy, but maybe he has a good social relationship. The downstairs flat. So they live below him. Again, maybe you can find some deep meaning in that. Can you?
The downstairs flat? It's an interesting question.
Not upstairs flat, but downstairs flat. I have no idea. We're discovering it as
like
we're discussing.
Down, yeah, so,
yeah, it's like he's going down this spiral, maybe. From high hopes and expectations going to
it's like the situation just worsens, right?
So we're down. People in the downstairs flat. Okay, so what happens to them? Are they a happy family?
No, they're not, because just it looks like anyway, just these two lines make me think about committing suicide, because they left the guest upon and they're all dead. So that like it wasn't like in chance, like
could be an accident. This happens by accident.
Accident, yes.
Or it could be a suicide. So we don't really know. But I really love how Peter Hamill here plays with drama, with breaking lines in interesting points. So like the people in the downstairs flat, people are no longer there now. Because they left. And you think, ah, okay, maybe that was them who went for a happy journey to America.
Oh, yeah, to America.
Yeah, they left. Okay, they have a little trip. That's good. That's good for them. And it makes you think like, ah, so that's about the hero being left behind again. Now, this time by his neighbors, the silly people. They're no longer there because they left. And then the guys tap on. And they're all dead.
Yeah.
So this is, it's terrible in the sense of the situation, but it's really amazing in the sense of how you can change the meaning just by using pause, by pausing in the right place, by using the context. And so the beginning of the phrase has one meaning. Then you read it to the end, and it's something completely opposite. And again, we have something common in the first part and the second part. Can you find something common in his parents' flat and in his neighbor's flat?
If we're talking about these three lines, right, in the second chorus. It was like people here maybe here physically dead in the first course, just it's like an emotional death maybe, or just like the dead or death at an end of something. And he's all alone again, just staring, and that just to me just stare is like looking, without looking steadily, continuously on something. It's again about like being frozen and just it's like dead.
Yeah, that's if we read a little bit on.
Yeah, like dead eyesight, you know.
And you may notice that the first part says the atmosphere, the air, the atmosphere is so bad that you can't be there. It's bad for you. You can't stand it. And in the second part, it becomes literal. The atmosphere, the air, is literally bad because it's full of gas.
Yes.
Yeah? So it sounds like they've taken some pills by an accident or something else happened, but the tap gas was left on. And the atmosphere is now very bad in that place. And again, was it an accident or was it not? Was it intentional? It's a very interesting question because we have this image of melancholy, depression, and it's something we need to ask ourselves, I guess, about self-harm. Yeah, because do people hurt themselves accidentally, or is it because somewhere inside they want to hurt themselves? What do you think?
Who knows? Just I don't know. So to me, it looks like a committing suicide. You know that they did it intentionally. And to my mind, I don't know why, but it seems to me like he knew that it could happen.
So can it happen to him?
Possibly.
Possibly. So he has his warning. He has his warning, like, okay, don't do it. It's not good. Oh, yeah, you just lie there in melancholy, half naked on your unmade bed. Again, a pretty picture.
Yeah.
And like you say, we can connect it to his mother who sits just staring and he lies, again, just doing nothing. Oh. And why lie in melancholy? Do you know?
So, on a large scale, because of everything what is happening with people around him, and just he can take all the situation, maybe like bad signs, of like, you know, negative, lots of things just which are negative. And that's why just maybe he's suffering, maybe there are just some...
So it doesn't happen to him, but he takes it personally. So again, that tells us that he's a very, very sensitive person, because someone else would be like, oh, it's not my problem. They're not even my relatives, they're just some stupid neighbors. Yeah, he doesn't say, he doesn't name them, just the people who lived in the downstairs flat. It's just a kind of a characteristic of someone you don't really know well. Not the family, not the couple, just people, someone, we don't care who. So some other person could say, not my problem. But he takes it very personally, even though it's around him. So can you tell me anything about such people?
Based on the text, I would say that it's just not so easy to do, but because just we're not given lots of details about their life and about just them, just their daily routine, but we can only just might think. Actually, we even don't know nothing about their like social status or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know nothing.
So, like,
we know only about their emotional position. Maybe because it's not important. Their social status may not be important, because who is a person? Is it
but,
their social
yeah, but
status?
Actually, if we just read the line, so you no one left to talk to. Just to me, it sounds like he used to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just a couple of words, a couple of, I don't know, sentences, or maybe just like, when having a cigarette, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
so they were just people who just he talked to.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we talk to someone, usually so it's like, like extra emotional support for
Yeah, so maybe
us.
He was like extra introverted and... having someone he could trust with a few words was
yeah,
important.
Yeah, just maybe they give them this feeling of that he's still alive, because
mm-hmm.
yeah, when someone say hello to you, it means that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you are just, you know, seen. It's like be seen, be, I don't know, be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because this and again we have the word left. They left. They're no longer here because they left, and now. You've no one left to talk to.
Okay.
So again, we are playing with the word left.
Uh-huh.
Like they left the gas on, and then you're left. You have no one left. So we have all these different sides and good meanings. It's beautiful. It's what you should do. You should bring different aspects. Of meanings
mm-hmm.
and turn them like a diamond in your hand. And again, we have this subject of loneliness, no one left to talk to. You're half naked on your unmade bed. So, again, you don't have the power, you're in depression, something.
Yeah, it's like unmade bed is a sign of, total mess, I would say. So.
Mm-hmm. And half naked, it's kind of, he started to dress for bed, but then he's like, oh no, I don't care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So again, we have this image of very deep melancholy. And the people you are going to Africa with just left on the Southern Star without you. Kind of
Sorry,
the same situation,
Africa.
But now Africa. How is Africa different from America?
of course, lots of aspects, but
for
I
a
think
British
that
person.
Maybe just like for a British person, just historically like former colonies. But I would say that's like another world to explore,
mm-hmm.
but in a different
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So in America and Africa, just both are lands just to explore, but. America is like new, prosperous, you know, rich
mm-hmm.
life, all this
mm-hmm.
glitter, just and so on. And Africa is like wild nature,
mm-hmm.
to be free, just to see that beautiful, I don't know, sky above your head at night. Just different people, you know, big animals. So, you know, this feeling of power,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so on one hand, we can read it like literally,
mm-hmm.
Like he was going to some places and people were like, oh, no, we don't need you. Or we can read it like his wish, his will to do something, to be someone, to do something, and then all that happens around him just doesn't let him, because he has no power even to move, leave alone to go and explore wild places like Africa. Because of course, yes, America is far away and it's a different place, but they still speak English there. It's still the same culture, more or less, while Africa would be just a crazy place, like really wild for him.
No, just like it has its own magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different magic. And they just left on the Southern Star. Southern Star, I take it it's some kind of a little joke, because at the time he wrote the song, there was a popular but a bit stupid film, a comedy about Africa, which was called Southern Star and about diamonds, something. But again, we have the dawn plane, this image of light. And here we have the star and south. Well, south is like good. Because west is a bit bad because it's sunset, and north is kind of bad because it's cold, but south is good. Yeah, south is good, and the star light, guiding light. And again, it's not for you. Yeah, you had some kind of hopes, but no, it's not for you. So how do you feel about it?
He was more depressed. Like, really, it gets worse and worse. Like, again, just one, you know, dreams, one of his dreams, which is still not realized, which is not still brought to life.
So
something to regret about. There is just one, yeah, the word just regret I would use here. Because just to my mind, sometimes just the things that we regret about or regret just of, they can lead to all this negative feeling like melancholy or depression. Because just, yeah, to my mind, just when we regret, we knew that it could be better. But the thing is, what was maybe done in not there just to do it better, or just, you know, to get what you want to get.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's like this feeling like, oh, I can do it. I'll get up, I'll do the exercises, I'll write a book, I'll paint a big painting, I can do it, I'll do it, I'll get a job, and then nothing, you can't, you don't have enough willpower to do it, and you feel worse, maybe. Okay, next bit. Yes, the haze that's been forming around your window panes is now protracted and poisoned, and you cannot feel a portion of the world outside. What's that? What's happening?
The world outside starts to get like blurred and quite vague, because we see the word heat and forming via window panes poisoned, and this feeling of gas, you know, like you can't breathe it in, breathe it out, so you can't, you know, you can't look sharply, maybe so that you can't breathe normally, just with normal air, and you can feel a portion of the world outside. Yeah, the world just, you know, the world just starts disappearing, and just becomes quite, you know, more vague and vague.
Because to me, it's a very interesting picture of, again, someone who chooses to close completely from the world outside. Obviously, the window panes are like your eyes, your mind, and they just don't want to touch, or they don't want to look at the reality. Because, like, no, it's just horrible, there's nothing good, there are evil people, they will hurt me, or they will hurt themselves, and that would hurt me again. And then your vision becomes poisoned, because this person starts looking at the world from this perspective. Like, all is bad, and then all you can see is that everything is bad, because that's what you're looking for. And that's poison. You can't feel. Which is again a bit funny because the first two parts he can feel something that happens to someone else, to his mother, to his neighbors. He takes it personally because he can feel, and now he's so depressed that he can't even feel. He doesn't want to feel. Maybe he's afraid to feel. Maybe it hurts him. What do you think?
It could be, maybe, you know, there are sometimes when maybe he's so tired
mm-hmm.
that really he's just, there is maybe no energy left
mm-hmm.
just to fight, to struggle with just his, you know, all the situations that we've described, or is described in the picture, are described in the picture, and just in the text. So because just feeling, just absence of feeling, yeah, is again about like the, I would say, maybe condition which is quite close to death.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when we can't feel, it means that,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point? When I was that, there are five, I would say, just five senses, just lots of feelings, just which can, some of them can be positive and give us joy of life.
Mm-hmm.
And here, just can anything.
Okay. Okay. So, can you imagine the way you would feel if all these things had happened to you? So now, at this point, he says, well, actually, it was just theorizing. It's not
yeah,
a
like
real situation. It was
okay.
a joke. Just a little joke, just an example. But of course, it's not just a joke, not just an example, because the rule is, whatever we can read or hear, we imagine it immediately, again, whether we like it or not, and it becomes true in our mind. So when he says, your father has just left your mother and she sits there just staring, we can see it and we can feel it. Yeah, and it's real. It's real to us. We go through all these situations he describes here. And now he says they're not real, but what is real? It's a good question, isn't it? So, were these situations real as we read about them for us?
If we don't read further, just a second, that's the way that I feel now in finding. Often finding that your love belongs to someone else and not I.
Yeah, so...
maybe that he...
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Say first.
Yeah, because we're looking at it bit by bit, because how we read it is how it's revealed in our mind. So
yeah.
How we take it bit by bit.
Yeah, so if we
at
don't
each moment.
Read just further,
mm-hmm.
if we don't read further, the next like three lines. So he just describes it, just as we started, we have just said it in the beginning from the first line, so that it can be like generalized you.
Mm-hmm.
And just, but to think about such things, also part of our life, because it's about, you know, like, to say, to think about probabilities, about possible things
mm-hmm.
that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it helps us, you know, to be, well, better prepared. Some
mm-hmm.
just, it really helps, just quite helpful for some people, you know, to imagine different situations and to think, and what if?
Yeah, do you often do it?
Because this question is, what if?
Do you often imagine
just
a horrible situation?
I try not, but... actually, you know, maybe I used to when I was younger, and it
mm-hmm.
was some, you know, periods and I don't know, really situations, just tough situations. When you think of them, and you know, the older I would say I've become,
mm-hmm.
the more I realize that we can't escape it because, you know, so the experience that you gain, that you just like
mm-hmm.
give, that you get like step by step, like year by year. It makes you think about what if.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't want, but we have to. And that's why, so, yes, I used to do it, sometimes I do it,
mm-hmm.
and maybe not so terrible, you know, I've never thought about like, a guest upon, leaving guest upon, and so on and so forth. But I can tell you that I know several cases, like,
mm-hmm.
real
mm-hmm.
situations, when we just like some acquaintances of my friends and acquaintances, I know of my just like people around. So some of them just left the guest step on, and actually they just died.
Was it an
Because they
accident
only.
or was it a suicide?
No, it's just boy. Actually, one case accident and just one suicide, a real one. And just now I'm older than the person who died, but you know, so it was like the whole story. Now we just I was told his story, and just for me it's clear. And sometimes really it was like, you know, to me it's, you know, a little bit seems to be a little bit childish when people like see all the positive side, pretending that okay, if I don't think
It will not
about
happen.
bad things, so they don't exist, but they do.
Cause they
And
do.
that's why, so yeah, can happen. Because just no one knows. Just actually, you know, it's like also I don't know if it's okay just to share something personal. I don't know, but may I or not? I don't know. So, like, I know that it was quite a very hard period just on my husband jobs for him. Like he just like it was a month or two that he slept like five, only 4 or 5 hours, and it was really intense. Just lots of stress, lots of I don't know anxiety, just like you know depressing, just as work in general. And just I told him that just one day, like over a couple of months, that it would be worse. And just so when he would feel it, just it's better, just would be to talk about it. But he decided, you know, not to talk. But he started smoking again. So he just like stopped doing it like 8 years ago and again. And for me it's clear, of course, just I was a little bit, you know, like upset because of this. But still, just this is the person that I meet every evening, right? I know actually lots of things about him. He's my husband. But you know, I found it by chance that he just got back to this bad habit. I'm not going to judge him, you know, because just he's like an adult person, he knows what he's doing. And just I know but that the smoking for him, like, is his relief at the moment. Maybe he will just stop it like in a couple of months, so that's why I don't want to make it worse. But did I know? Could I just even imagine that he just, you know, would start doing it again? Because I remember how difficult it was for him to stop doing it, and how difficult it was for me just to support his decision, and how much energy it took of me, you know? And I remember, so the level of my, I would say, angerness, yeah, if this,
Anger.
if I can say that, just, wow, I was really angry with him just because when it was the third time of his third attempt to stop doing it, and again. So that's why I think that you can never know what can happen. That's why thinking that someone can, you know, really a person living next to you can do some bad things, yeah, just disgusting things, no one knows.
No one knows. Yeah. Okay. Well,
Yeah.
because very often people just don't want to even think about so-called bad things. They're not good things or bad things. Like maybe they're happy things and not so happy things, of course. But they all happen. And if you turn a blind eye on something, it doesn't stop existing. But here
Yeah,
we read about all these things and we live through them. They're real to us. So maybe it's like a little exercise. So when the real blow comes, we are never prepared, but maybe we're a little bit prepared.
exactly. Margaret, may I just use my charger because
Yeah,
just
sure.
my laptop showing that. Just a second.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and I'm back. I'm back. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because we all have to go through like the death of our parents if life goes like normally, because the other way around
Yeah,
is wrong.
quite
Or
upsetting.
some people lose like husband or wife or something like that, or
Yeah, and even, you know,
relatives,
sometimes,
friends.
what I would just like to add out of the blue. Like, when you're pregnant, when a woman.
What? Hello? Where are you? Come back. Oh no. Oops. Hello. So yeah, of course. When we love someone, we like to think about happy moments. We don't want to think about what happens when they die, for instance. Maybe we should ask ourselves this question. What happens when he, she dies? Hello,
Okay.
are you back?
Yeah,
Yeah, so you
I
started
am.
saying when you're pregnant, yeah. And then he disappeared.
Just when a woman is pregnant. Now, of course, we have all this just, I don't know, well and highly just and qualified, systems just to check on your pregnancy. But still, you never know. And this is also kind of a situation where you start thinking and just questioning yourself and what if. And it's really just it's scary. It's actually it's quite scary because just you with 40 weeks of waiting, even knowing if everything okay, but you can't be sure until the moment. So you are holding your baby and just I'm just like and I'm working with people, being a teacher, just talking to different moms, like belonging to different kind of communities. And I went, even when a child is born, I want to say, that lots of people, they don't know what can happen in 3 months or 5 months, and just terrible situations happen. And again, this is the question of what if. And just since the moment, just like, just a woman is pregnant, like the first, I would say, hours of a fetus, if I'm not mistaken, if I use this word correctly. Until really the last minute of our life, I would say is like the death. This is what is, because just this uncertainty of life, this is also kind of maybe like a balance to something. Like when I'm sure and I don't, and I'm not, who knows?
So, when he brings all these horrible situations and builds up this tension, and we know it may happen, we know it's possible, and he says, imagine all of that happens to you, and on top of that, the doctor says you're dying. Again, it's not something we like to hear. Yeah?
Yeah, it's
Even
another
though
fear.
doctors can be stupid, they can be wrong, but they can be right. But they can be wrong, but they can be right. So again, it's like a theory. Suppose the doctor says you're dying, how would you feel about it? But again, when we hear it, we don't like to hear it.
Yeah, and we don't want to hear it, and actually, it's again, lots of people become speechless.
So even
And they
if
try to
before
bring
that,
themselves.
if before that we were talking about things that happened to someone else, to your parents, to your neighbors, now it's a direct hit. Yeah, it's not only about you, but it's about your life. And on top of that, the doctor says you're dying.
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah, awful. Awful.
Yeah, it's like just life, since the moment you know, when someone just was, is, or is that, that the person is going to die, so for lots of people, life becomes just a torture. Because they really need to, they suffer, they need to struggle, and just lots of people, so like fighters, just when a lot of such stories, if we talk, let's talk about cancer. Some people just pretend that they don't and they do nothing in order to help themselves. So, of course, just that's, I mean, all the questions and answers depends on you as a person and your personality, because it is a time when you really need to make a decision, but some, just how even to leave maybe the last 3 years that are left for you. And again, the word left. Yeah, because who rules our lives? We don't know. We still
We
don't
didn't
know.
know. We didn't know. No. And yeah. And he says, that's the way that I feel now. So you thought it was all about you and things happening
No, it was
around
always
you,
about him.
but really it was about him.
Yummy. It
So
was
that's a
asking.
lovely turn.
Yeah, he's trying just to show the person just his lover, actually, or his beloved person. It's like just to show it, just all these situations were picked as, I would say, maybe the toughest examples to illustrate how he feel and how worse and just how terrible he feel that he's really broken and just to what extent he's broken.
Yeah, so now, only now, at the end of the song, only now we see that it wasn't happening to someone else. It's not like your father has just left your mother. It's his love says, I'm not your love. And he feels like this mother feels. Yeah. And he feels like he's dying because, oh no, she doesn't love me, she doesn't want me. So I love how he turns it, constantly turning the perspective, the meanings. It's such a simple song, such a quite simple meaning. If you come to it again, it's like a million years old meaning. Oh, she doesn't love me, I'm unhappy. That's all. The way he does it, yeah, the way he
Yeah,
does
it
it is
just
so
like
cool.
he works with the language and with the syntaxes, great syntaxes, like with these pauses, just really brilliant.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
as you
with the
said, just turning
perspective,
diamonds, right?
with the perspective, how you look at it, you look from your own eyes, you feel it from inside because it kind of happening to you and to people around you. And then again, he turns it, and suddenly it's not someone, it's him. But at the same time, it's you because you could feel all that. That's the way that I feel now. On finding that your love belongs to someone else, not I. Any comments here? Anything interesting?
Finding that your love belongs to someone else. So maybe the usage of us like to someone else, not me, but maybe it's not so important here. Or maybe important, but it's hard just to comment. I can't comment on it, I can tell you the
Yeah,
truth.
because normally, of course, you say not me, but if you say not I, so we have you and you and you. Only here we have that I feel now, and someone else, not I. So maybe he's quite egotistic. Maybe he's quite selfish. Maybe his I, me, I is very
I
big.
centered.
Yeah, I-centered. How can it be to someone else? So we can see he doesn't really have other personalities, maybe. People around him, they don't have faces. Gone off to live his latest lover. Who's his latest lover? Yeah, no idea,
No
doesn't care.
idea.
People you're going to somewhere with. Who are these
No idea.
people? Just people, they don't have faces. People in the downstairs flat, just someone. Just
Yeah,
sounds, they just.
like no faces, no names,
And here
no
again, your
story.
love belongs to someone else, not I. So he's not very interested. That's a bit funny because he's interested in other people when he can see himself in these other people. Then he's interested because it's like, it's me. If it's just someone, he doesn't care. Even if it's his neighbors who he used to talk to. Again, that never happened, but it did happen. Or maybe it happened to him and now he says, imagine it happened to you. Maybe. Well, your love belongs to someone else, not I. So immediately we have understanding of his very deep love. Yeah, how he is very broken because we had these other examples which are very powerful and personal and powerful. Now we can see that he really means that, yeah, I love you, but at the same time we know his reaction to it. Because again, he described it twice, like, ah, I'll just lie there, lie down and do nothing because I'm so unhappy. Yeah, my chance of heaven.
Like, he has, this is just like, you know, so much time to think about all the just, about all the misery in his life, so, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who knows, actually.
Yeah. My
it's
chance of heaven.
On,
yeah, a chance of heaven mm-hmm. has just blown away upon a passing cloud. There's nothing that I can do without you. So again, we have this.
And now it switches. Like in the
mm-hmm.
previous courses, without you, so you was just like you. Was
yeah,
him,
and a different,
and
different meaning. They left without you. Mm-hmm.
you,
and now it's other you, different you. And what's more. This you, this person who was listening to him all the time, turns out that's his lover, that's his love. That you are here, listening to this song from the position of his love. And he says, just imagine you were in my shoes. Yeah, imagine.
Actually, it's like a dialogue, yeah? But
mm-hmm.
the second person is just standing or sitting and listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without just being given a word, just a chance to answer.
Yeah.
But this person is right in the picture, is like next to him.
Mm-hmm. So this you isn't just some abstract listener. It's the person he is talking to directly, literally you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's without you, left without you, and nothing I can do without you. Like I show my face, I show my cards, I play openly now. Yeah. I'm not speaking metaphorically or allegorically anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just cry now because how do I get it to you? And again, you were going to America or you were going to Africa. You're not going there by train, really. So you're going by plane, and he mentions the plane in the first part.
Like heaven, blow away, resting clothes.
Mm-hmm. The Silent Star sounds like a name of a plane as well, or a company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was saying just in this realize, like, heaven, I think cloud is like he just again about flying in the
mm-hmm.
sky and all
mm-hmm.
stuff, like moving, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so being with her is like going to America or to Africa for a new life, some exciting adventures. But they left
mm-hmm.
without him, and she left without him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're just blown away upon a passing cloud. There's nothing that I can do without you. So on one hand, he says, I feel, not I, but then he admits that, but I'm nothing. I may be self-centered, but I'm nothing without you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's also quite a depressive. It's like being dependable, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe dependent.
Yeah.
Yeah, dependent, I guess, on someone else. It's like being without, not having like your own personality,
mm-hmm.
and that's why,
mm-hmm.
again, new energy, because only while we're just trying to figure out just who we are,
mm-hmm.
actually, it also takes a lot of energy and just power and willpower. But it's also quite, you know, exhausting, I'm saying, just as for him, so.
Yeah, so we have his reaction from the beginning.
Maybe it was like a, you know, like sometimes life can be crazy, and maybe it was like his like value, not like top value, and who knows what is happening actually. And
we don't know what's happening because
it's
hard to say. Yeah, it's hard to say which part is his imaginary examples and which parts are real life. We have no idea. It's his monologue. We don't have any other point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on one hand, he says we have this picture, this image of someone who is so deeply in love that if she leaves him, he's like, no, I'm completely broken. He says, yeah, I may look big, but I'm not selfish. It's all about you. And is it healthy?
Actually not. It doesn't sound healthy at all.
Or maybe he's just exaggerating to get her back.
Yeah.
Maybe it's another story he's telling.
And maybe he's a hot-tempered person, right? Mm-hmm. And that just exaggerating, like, you know, and to intensify everything. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. Because, again, we only have his point of view. We don't have any other third-person point of view. So we have no idea of saying. Maybe he's a master of manipulation. Maybe he knows what examples, what words to say, what examples to bring in. Because that's what he's doing. He's manipulating us as we listen to it. So can we trust him? Can we really trust him? Or do we take everything at face value?
But what if it belongs just really to him, and just it is his story, and he's actually free and, you know, to get through it as he can? And just if it's just like his way, yeah, of going through maybe really deep pain and all the suffering, so why not? So actually he's free to change, I mean, not to change, but to choose, you know, any comparisons, you know, any illustrations, just what he wants. Because just we know that, like, going through pain is also a very personal thing. Mm-hmm. Some people really need just sitting and stare. Some people really like to, you know, lie in bed and doing nothing. Some people just procrastinate. Some is just in frustration. Yeah, some just people can lie and, you know, cry for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And just someone who, I don't know, maybe can go to a therapy or whatever. So actually, yeah. As many people, as just many ways, but this
yeah,
is his,
there are
to
many
me,
ways
it sounds
of
like
it.
His personal story. It can be,
yeah, there are many ways of looking at it, or reading it, understanding it, feeling it.
That's great.
And then we have this last bit, which again, it's small, but it's again turning, which is what you should be doing. The people you are going to have left, gone far away, and you're lonely. So before that, we had people you were going to America with, people you were going to Africa with, they just left. And now we have the people you are going to have left. What's the difference? People you're going to America with have left, or people you are going to have left?
I would say that he's talking, or the narrator is talking about, like, exact people, maybe who were quite important to him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he just is related back somehow, and then just.
What's the focus?
The people you were going to
So when we say people we're going to Africa with, to America with, the main image was that of Africa, America, traveling somewhere far away, different countries, and the people was just someone, we don't care, someone but here the people you're going to, so people
like
are important. Now he admits it. In the end, he admits that, well, actually, maybe I was pretending. Maybe it wasn't that important where we go to. Maybe I don't care if we go to Africa or America or New Zealand. Maybe it doesn't matter where. Maybe it's more important who with. Yeah, people you were going to. And they left. So he says in this text, like... it's not important that you and I do this or that. It's important that it's you and I, and you left me. So people are important, not things, not places.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a good idea.
Yeah.
So all the song.
I see. I get it.
Yeah, all the song, he's like, no, I'm just a little introverted, sociopath, or sociophobic, I don't remember which is which.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like people, I don't remember faces, it doesn't really matter to me, just some people. And in the end, he kind of admits that it's, it is important to me to see some people, and I really don't like being left on my own. Yeah, like in the second part, mm-hmm. you've no one left to talk to. So he's not sorry because they're dead, but he's sorry because there's no one to talk to now.
Yeah.
Maybe. What do you think?
I think that everything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I love all the twists, you know, and all the turns just throughout this text. I think that this is the main point, just to look how you can work with the way you want to say
mm-hmm.
something and how you can really lead the reader
mm-hmm.
and just maybe sometimes try to, not to trap, but yeah, really but to catch attention. So really, when you start reading it the way that we are doing now, right,
mm-hmm.
you really see, you know, you stick to the text and
yeah.
then you get this picture, like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's just thought provoking, I would say.
It is, and that's why I love it, and maybe that's why Peter Hamill loves it. I didn't know he loved it that much,
yeah.
so as to make another version of it many years later, but he did, apparently. That's cool. So, like I said, it may not be very amusing in the sense of music. It may not be very amusing in the sense of very general meaning, which is, oh, you don't love me, oh, woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
But as a poem, as a song, and how it works its way, it's really cool. It's really what you should be doing with words and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can stop here. Missed the recording.